Right, they're in with us. Okay. All right. You want to live to tell about it. Amen.
Amen.
You can say, we were in Sunday night church, and Pastor Steve preached and carried on, and we lived to tell about it. Isn't that right? We lived to tell about it. They've got a tweener Bible study going on over there next door, and my goodness, there's got to be 10 or 12 little girls over there. Plus Taylor and Aubrey leading the Bible study, and then Stephanie's over there as the, I guess, the monitor, you know. I mean, whenever you got minors basically leading a Bible study with somebody's children, you need an adult somewhere, amen, close by. Yeah, so just if there's an issue, we can say, yeah, there was an adult over there. Amen? Not that there was going to be an issue, but you never can tell. First time it's ever happened to me in my life, I've lost a heel plate off of my shoe. I don't know if you men have, I don't know if that's ever happened to you men. I tend to buy my shoes on eBay because they're about, 20-25% of the cost of what a new pair of Allen Edmonds would be if I ordered them from Allen Edmonds direct. They're about $300-something a pair. So I get them on eBay for 50, 60 bucks, you know, used. And sometimes it's a good deal. Sometimes it's like, well, those are going to be a gift to the Goodwill. Amen? So, these I thought were a really good deal. And I went back to my office to get my mic. And I go, what is that on the ground? And I reached down and picked it up. And it was the heel plate off the bottom of my shoe. And I thought, well, no wonder I feel like I'm walking funny. Amen? Be turning, try to walk a straight line. Keep turning right. All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to pick it up where we left off here this morning. And let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we said this morning, the whole big deal about this section of Scripture that we're getting into is that as we understand what these gifts are, you know, hey man, we should be thankful. There should be an attitude of gratitude that overwhelms up in us that we're part of the plan. I mean, we are part of the God's grand design to get lost people into the kingdom of God. And it happens as each and every one of us exercises their spiritual giftedness, right? And so to do all that, you have to go through these passages of Scripture and kind of line it all out and figure it all out and say this goes here and that goes there. I mean, we're Westerners, right? I mean, we're here in America. Everybody got a sock drawer? Yeah, right? Well, some of us do, amen. And my clean clothes come and they're laid on my bed and nobody puts up my clothes. Why? Because I want my socks rotated. Y'all looking at me crazy. Yeah, that's what I want, right? The undershirts that I just wore, they go on the bottom. So, you know what I'm talking about. You rotate your stuff, amen? We talked about variety today. Y'all are thinking I'm crazy. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin reading. we're going to begin reading in verse 8 here and take it through verse 11. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. We covered that word of wisdom this morning, the gift of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. We covered that gift of knowledge this morning by the same Spirit. To another, faith. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen for the faith. Those that have the gift of faith, they are great encouragers to the church. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the work of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. We call those other languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. We call that interpretation of other known languages. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you that we can gather together again and open your Bible and read from your truth, and Lord, just drink of what you would have for us to have tonight, Lord, as we take in the bread as we take in your truth, Lord, I pray that you wash the church, you equip the church, you help the church be all that the church is supposed to be in this day and age that we find ourselves in. We thank you for calling us to her. We thank you for saving us and allowing us to be in the midst of this. Lord, it's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I introduced this morning. I said when the church ministers its spiritual gifts as it should, at least four important blessings result. Remember that? The first of those blessings is a blessing. Amen? So as Christians attempt to please God, we're not exercising our spiritual gifts for a blessing. No, we're attempting to please God and be what God's called us and created us to be. As Christians attempt to please God by exercising their spiritual gift or gifts, in the process of that, we receive a great blessing. And what we tried to get across this morning, also these blessings are corporately experienced as each individual exercises their own gifts, and these blessings overlap. Amen? That's a beautiful thing. That's the way it's supposed to be. So we should not seek the blessing over pleasing God. The whole game plan is to please God, but when we receive the blessing, don't feel guilty about it. Amen? Because God wants to bless us as we exercise the gifts that we have. Now, I said there's four blessings that come when everybody on the team figures out that everybody's got a place to work and a thing to do, and God's called them and equipped them for a specific task in the church, and I don't have the list. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You know what God's called you to do. You know what He's equipped you to do. So you tell me. Amen? It's not me telling you. It's you telling me. I know what He's called me to do. I figured that one out. Well, He's called you to do something too. He's equipped you. He's given you a gift or spiritual gifts. Second, when we're all swinging the bat at the ball, amen, when we're all stepping up in the batter's box, right, when we're all getting ready to tee one off, amen, we're actually got the club in our hand, the ball's on that little thing, we're going to take a swipe at it. When we're all trying to do that, secondly, when everyone does his part in ministry, the church forms, four things happen. The second one is, the church forms a dynamic witness. I want to tell you, with power. Everybody say power. Holy Spirit power. With power and effectiveness that it cannot otherwise have. Sometimes we'll be thinking, man, I just wonder what's wrong with the church. I mean, man, the church needs something. No, the church don't need nothing. The church has got everything God wants the church to have. The problem is the folks in the pew won't turn it on. Won't say, God, I'm available. Use me. Right? We want to hold on to everything. It's just human nature. We want to do that. It's just sinfulness. We want to do that. We don't want to let go. We want to hold on and keep to ourselves. You know, I mean, man, I might get out of my comfort zone if I have to do that. I may get stretched spiritually. It may change how much free time I have and all of those things. Yeah, you probably will. Right? But somebody might get saved because of it. And some family might get healed because of it. Right? And some generation of people might end up in glory one day because of it. So think all of that through. A dynamic witness. See, not only are those with the gift of evangelism empowered to witness more effectively when everyone in the church is trying to exercise their gift, but every believer is used directly or indirectly in strengthening the testimony of the gospel to unbelievers. So all share in the result, right? Everybody shares in the result. When everybody is exercising their spiritual gift or spiritual gifts and a soul gets saved, man, that is to everybody's credit. That's to the Holy Spirit working in everybody and all of those in the congregation being submissive and available to God to be used by God. So all share in the results. When Peter preached at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were saved. Not the greatest revival in the Bible. It's a good one. Not the greatest one. The greatest one is Jonah. All right? It's a good revival, though. 3,000 souls were saved, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And when the Jerusalem church, these folks formed the Jerusalem church that were saved that day on Pentecost, and when the Jerusalem church, including many of those new converts, began to faithfully and sacrificially exercise their various gifts, man, the Bible says that the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen? Amen. That is the evangelistic standard of the church. Oh, man, it was an exciting year, man. We had 10 people get saved and, you know, 8 people got baptized. Man, it was an exciting year. We had 100 people get saved and 80 of them got baptized. Man, it was an exciting year. Man, an exciting year is when they're daily saved. Daily saved. You mean like on Monday? Yeah, like on Monday. Man, I've seen it where lost people come off the street and wander into my office. I'm in there trying to figure out a Wednesday night Bible study or a Sunday morning message, and secretary rings me, such and such would like to talk to you, and they come in, and lo and behold, they're lost as a goose, and something just told them to come in here, and here we are sitting face to face. That hadn't happened here yet, but it will. They're sitting face to face, and they end up, before they leave the office, they are praying to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen? I mean, it just on a daily basis, people get saved. That's the evangelistic standard that we want to see happen here. Amen, church? Well, we said spiritual gifts fill two major purposes. Remember those purposes? Maybe, maybe not. Well, let's try them one more time. The permanent gifts edify the church. Everybody say permanent. Like a marker, permanent marker, but this is really permanent, more permanent than a permanent marker. All right? The permanent gifts edify the church, and the temporary gifts were signs to confirm the Word of God. And what we said this morning was this: God will continue to give permanent gifts to believers for the duration of the church age. The church age ends when, church? When Jesus raptures the church out of here, church age will be over. Until that time, as people are saved, He's continually giving gifts. Boy, Jesus is a giver, is He not? Boy, the Holy Spirit is a giver, is He not? God is a giver, is He not? A bunch of just a good giving going on. Amen? We want to get in on that, all right? God will continue to give these permanent gifts, and those gifts are to be ministered by His people, exercised by His people at all times in the life of the church. Permanent, we said, permanent and temporary gifts can be divided into teaching gifts, 2, supernatural gifts, and 3, the communicative gifts. And let's go over them one more time. Teaching gifts include wisdom and knowledge, all right? Supernatural gifts include faith, which we covered this morning, healing and miracles. Communicative gifts include these: prophecy, spirit discernment, other languages and or interpretation of those other languages. We said, and we'll say again, and we'll just continue to remind you of and get it into your mind and into your soul and into your spirit, that temporary gifts are the miracles, are the healing. Miracles still happen, we said, right? Miracles still happen. Temporary gifts include healings. Healings still happen today, but we're going to explain that tonight. Temporary gifts include other languages, people not knowing language, that they're speaking a language. So like I know English. What other language do you know? I know a little bit of Greek, right? Can't speak it, but I can read it and decipher it and parse a Greek word in a sentence and all of that stuff. But I don't know Portuguese. I don't know Spanish. I don't know German. I don't know all these other languages. Chinese, don't know that. But for, you know, if I spoke some Mandarin, just got off and rattled off a paragraph of Mandarin, and somebody out there knew Mandarin, and they stood up and said, "He just shared Jesus with me and my own." They were bilingual, of course, because they're talking to you in English. "He just shared Jesus with me in my own mother language. I understood exactly what he was saying." That person would be what? They would be interpreting another language, and I would be what? I would be speaking in another language, right? And so that's what we're talking about, these sign gifts, temporary sign gifts. Temporary gifts include these things. Sign gifts moved off the scene with the passing of the who? The apostles. That is correct. And when the Scriptures, His written word, were completed and became self-authenticating. Right? You have to have a miracle to make this true. Does somebody have to speak in an unknown language now for this to be true? No. I mean, my goodness, that's God's Word, isn't it? It's God's Word, the Word of God. It is self-authenticating. All right? So, in the present passage, Paul mentions some of the gifts. All right? Some of those gifts that illustrate the diversities of varieties that he spoke about in verse 4. You can turn back and look at that if you would like. This list in our present passage includes both permanent, everybody say permanent, and temporary gifts. And this list in our present passage is only representative of the diversities or varieties because of the fact that additional lists of gifts are mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament, including verse 28 in the passage we're in, also including Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. The apostles' point in giving the Corinthians this list is not to explain the function, but to illustrate what? To illustrate the variety and kinds of gifts and to emphasize the common source of the gifts. And that's where verse 7 comes in. So this morning, we talked about, first of all, the gift of wisdom. That's a what kind of gift? Permanent or temporary? That's a permanent gift, and that gift is used mainly in teaching and individual counseling, all right? The word of wisdom, the gift of wisdom, able to handle the word of God doctrinally with some doctrine, knowing some things about it, being able to understand it and apply it and communicate it to folks. The gift of wisdom, permanent, used in teaching, and we said it was given in different ways. Sometimes you get it at salvation. James says you can ask for it and receive it. It's a gift. It seems like God wants everybody to what? Wants everybody to have. I mean, it's open. It's open for folks to have. Amen? The second one we covered was the gift of knowledge. Is the gift of knowledge a permanent or temporary gift? It's a permanent gift. That's right. It is used differently today than that of the apostles, but it is still in it's still being given out. It's still going on, and it's used mainly in teaching the gift of knowledge. It's different from how the apostles used it. They had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as they wrote, okay? I mean, they were being inspired by the person of the Holy Spirit to write the inerrant Word of God. We talked about this morning, if somebody comes to you and they have a new revelation, you should what? Not walk, but run. I mean, pumping the arms and everything, right? Throwing the heel plates off of your shoes, you're running so fast, amen? You should run from them because Revelation talks about anyone who adds to or subtracts from is going to receive the judgment, okay? So what about these books that come out and man, somebody's just got this new spin on it or, you know, they've been here, they've been to heaven and been back and, boy, they're going to write about it and tell about it. Well, my question to everybody who really gets all into that and goes and sees the movie and buys the book and gets the Blu-ray and downloads the screensaver for the computer, my question to them always is, where do we put that in the Bible? I mean, where does that go? Does that go after Revelation, after 22:18? 22:18's got a problem with that. Well, you know, they're not trying to make that scripture. They're trying to make it a new revelation. And a new revelation, I mean, if it's revelation and it's new, we need to start having a Catholic Bible. Instead of 66 books, 77. I mean, let's just start adding on. Well, no, Pastor, we can't add. Well, that's right, we can't add on. So what do we do with that stuff? We'd be very cautious with that stuff. Very, very cautious. Well, Hollywood makes it look so well. You leave that in Hollywood. Amen? You leave that in Hollywood. Well, we move on tonight talking about the gifts of healing. Aren't you excited about that? Does God heal? Absolutely. He does heal. Now, this gifts of healing gifts being plural, look at it in verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. This, my friends, is a temporary sign gift. And I want us to look at some of the passages tonight that we find and think about the folks that had this temporary sign gifts. Gifts here is plural, meaning that Paul is speaking of categories of giftedness in which there may be great variety. Okay? Great variety. So some possess this gift of healing more so than some, just like some people possess the gift of wisdom more than some, just as some people possess the gift of faith more than some. There's diversity and different, you know, all that stuff. So it's kind of all over the place. The gifts of healing were the first temporary sign gifts that Paul mentions in this passage. And the question I asked myself was, well, then why in the world, if there's sign gifts, why didn't Paul break the sign gifts out? Why didn't he break the sign and put these in parentheses? And by the way, these are sign gifts. Why did he do that? He didn't do that because all the gifts, when Paul's writing about them, are in operation in Paul's day, because the apostles are still what? And they're still alive. They're still doing a lot of their same thing, right? That's why. Because all the gifts are in operation. Paul's writing, the sign gifts are not placed in a separate category. The word healing, it's not in the plural in our English, but in the Greek, it is in the plural for healing. The word healing in plural in the Greek is emphasizing the many kinds of afflictions that needed healing in the New Testament time. Now, these gifts of healings were for Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 8. Just blame it on the missing heel plate. I'm a little off kilter up here. Amen? Matthew chapter 8. I just thought I saw one in front of that 8. Matthew chapter 8. All right, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. When the even was come, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. How many did he heal that were sick? He got them all, didn't he? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. These gifts are healings. These gifts of healings were for Christ and three other groups. What are the three other groups? Christ always first. The three other groups are, secondly, the apostles. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. That's just two chapters over from where we're at. Matthew chapter 10. At verse 1, Matthew 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness. What manner? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then it was given to this, the gifts of healings were given to the 70. Look at Luke chapter 10. We're in Matthew 10. Just go a gospel over, or go two gospels over. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yeah. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. A couple of gospels over there. Luke chapter 10 at verse 1. The Word of God reads in Luke 10:1, it says, After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said unto them,
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye there, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And as it goes into this, what do they go and do? They go healing, and they go casting out, and they go doing those things that the Lord had appointed them to do. The 70, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And then also some associates of the apostles, such as Philip. An example of that is found in Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. Acts 8, 5 through 7. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. All right, the Word of God reads here, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed." Now we've gone from all, when Christ was doing it, to now many. What did the 70 struggle with? The 70 struggled with some things that Jesus said, these things only happen by prayer and fasting. Yeah. So who was the ultimate healer here? Jesus. And then he had given these things to three other groups, the apostles, the 70, and some associates of the apostles, such as Philip. The question is, and we already know the answer, but let's ask it anyway, and it's rhetoric. Does God still heal directly and miraculously today? Yes, he does. In response to the faithful prayers of his children. Yes, he does. Amen? But no Christian today has the gifts of healing. You say, how can you say that? How can you say that, Pastor? Well, I can say that because if they did, they would go to the morgue and there would be a party. They could go to Texas Children's and there would be a party. They could go to Bethesda, Maryland, where we've got veterans who are missing half of their faces and many of their limbs, and have received such injury that they'll never be able to function normally again for the rest of their lives. And if there were folks that had the gifts of healings, why aren't they there? No, they want to get on TV. They want to have tents. And this is what they do when the folks that are really in need show up. They push them over to the side in the darkness. And those that have some kind of ailment that had been primed a little bit with some financial compensation, come walking down the aisle, miraculously get what? Get healed. Right? Yeah, if there were really gifts of healings, I think we would really hear about it, see it, experience it. But God still heals today. Amen? Through the faithful prayers of his children. Now this is apparent because no one can heal that there's not the gift of healings. This is apparent because no one today can heal as Jesus and the apostles, who with one word, they didn't have to get all lathered up. They didn't have to dance a jig and have a bunch of money thrown at them. They just spoke a word and the dead were raised and the missing limbs were replaced. And the withered hand was no longer withered. And the blindness was completely gone, not partially gone, completely gone. One time Jesus had to make some mud, put some mud in the guy's eye. But boom, then it was gone. There was no partial, well, I think I got my hearing back. No, I got my hearing back, right? Not I think I'm a little better. I'm all the way better, right? that kind of thing is not going on by an individual. God's still doing that, but I think He's doing it through the church. Amen? Doing it through the prayers of faithful folks, faithful Christians. Bobby was sharing that this family member of his was going in remission, had cancer, and was now in remission of it. And I was asking him about it after the church service, or maybe he mentioned it in the church service. He said after a seven-year-old boy prayed for him, after a seven-year-old boy prayed for this family member, that's when they think the healing took place. Well, praise God, amen? The innocence of a child lifting up somebody with cancer. Do we think a seven-year-old really grasps the gravity of cancer? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, I think about my own kids. You know, what's cancer? I'm not sure. But hey, he knew enough to pray to the God he believed in, and God answered his what? God answered his prayer. That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't shock me. What would shock me is if the parents of the seven-year-old boy took an ad out on Craigslist and rented a tent and started having healing prayer service because they believed that their seven-year-old had what? Had the gift of healing. And so the issue is that's an apostolic sign gift that has moved off the scene. We called that position this morning cessationist. We believe that these sign gifts have what? We believe that they've ceased with the passing of the apostles. Because what we're saying, the sign gifts, best we can understand from studying the New Testament, the sign gifts were to get people to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was to get them to think about God's Word. But after God's Word became complete and self-authenticating, the apostles are gone. And God's Word is eternal and going forth. Amen? And so our brothers and sisters, saved folks in the Pentecostal church, saved folks in the Charismatic church, saved folks in non-denominational church, they are continuationist. We would have this theological debate with them about whether these sign gifts continue or whether they've ceased. They've got good verses that they use. We've got good verses that we use. And at the end of the day, we would agree to disagree. Hey, see you in heaven one day. It's been great. It's been awesome. We're cessationists. You're continuationists. You know, we just have to agree to disagree, right? I mean, that's basically what we would do. We wouldn't say that they were lost. We wouldn't say that they're practicing some kind of heresy or voodoo. Absolutely not. They just approach the Bible and those scriptures differently than we do. But we're cessationists here. I mean, that's just who we are. That's just where we come from, all right? So we know that the gifts of healings were for Christ and the apostles, the 70, and some of the associates. God still does these incredible healings, but no Christian today has, as far as we know, has the gifts of healings. I'm always open if somebody wants to bring me somebody and say, man, this guy's got the gift of healing. Hey, I've got some shut-ins. Let's go. Man, I'll drive you. I'll buy you a cup of coffee, and we'll get lunch on me after it's over. We're going to go see some shut-ins, right? I'm running you by Miss Margie. Amen. We're going to go see Miss Benny. We're going to see Miss Aurelia. We're going to see Dad. Amen. We're going to go by Dad. Amen. We're going to go see Marco. Let's get the healing on. Amen. Somebody's got the gift of healing. Let's exploit that gift. Let's squeeze that thing. Amen. So you ever find anybody you want to bring them by, I'm all game. I'll take an afternoon to explore that with them. Amen. And be the first one to admit, I was wrong. But 20 years of doing this, nobody's taking me up on that. But you've got the invitation to do it. Amen? All right. The Corinthian church may have seen Jesus perform healings or God perform healings through the Apostle Paul. The Corinthian church may have seen the Holy Spirit perform some incredible acts and wonders within some of these apostles' associates. I mean, Paul had this. He had these gifts as an apostle. Peter, these guys had these gifts. But what Paul is trying to get them to see, Paul mentions them here simply to remind the Corinthians of the variety of ways in which God equips His people to do His work. What were the Corinthians drawn to? They were drawn to the big time, public manifestation, sensationalistic gifts. Right? Is gutting out a Bible study more exciting, or is seeing somebody raised from the dead more exciting? You tell me. Somebody raised from the dead more exciting? Wow, man, did you see the response everybody gave that brother after he said, get up, and that dead person got up? Man, I want some of that on me. Man, they high-fived that guy all the way to the restaurant. He didn't buy his lunch for a whole week. I mean, man, they just catered to that guy. The Corinthians saw that. Man, the Corinthians wanted that, right? So Paul's trying to get them to see the variety in which God equips His people to do His work. The gifts of healings, like other sign gifts, were temporary, given to the church for authenticating the apostolic message as the Word of God. Now, think about the Great Commission with me. The Great Commission does not include a call to heal bodies, only the call to heal souls. Amen? To heal souls through the preaching of the gospel. And it is not that God became no longer interested in men's physical health. I'm telling you, He's concerned where we're at physically. Amen? He hadn't become less interested in our physical health and well-being, or that the church should have no such concern. We should still be concerned for those that have cancer, those that are struggling, those that have broke bones, those that are struggling emotionally, those that are struggling in a spiritual fashion. Medical work has long been a God-blessed part of Christian service. Who gave us the medicine? Who gives us the doctors? Well, it ain't the devil. He wants us all dead in hell. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit that gives these for the nurses. It's the Lord that passes these, blesses us with these things. Amen? God's healing work, whether through medicine or miracle, is no longer an authenticating sign. And He no longer endows individuals in His church with such gifts. But it is a testimony sign. It is a testimony of what God can do. It is a testimony of I've been healed. It is a testimony of let me tell you about Jesus. Amen? I'm not authenticating the Word of God, but I'm authenticating my salvation in Jesus Christ that I got from the Word of God. Amen? It's a slight difference, but He's still working. The gifts of healing. It's a temporary gift. It was a sign gift. Jesus healed. Now, this is what? Now, if you want to turn the recorder off or put your pen down, I can't prove this, but this is, after studying this and looking at this for years, this is what me thinks. Jesus healed by far. I believe it's by far. Jesus healed by far many more than probably all the apostles, the 70, and the apostles' associates combined. Friend, the Gospels are just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels are just a snapshot, four little snapshots of 3 years of ministry. We don't have it all. We don't have it all. Man, I think Jesus, when it says He healed them all, friend, He healed them all. Anybody that came, He healed them all. Did He heal many? No, He healed them all. Everywhere He went, He healed them all. When we think about Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing here to the Corinthian church, running out of time, let's finish it up here. Paul used the gift of the gifts of healings sparingly. When you look at his 13 epistles, when you study the book of Acts, Paul used the gift of the gifts of healings sparingly and only for its intended purpose. What was the intended purpose? To authenticate the gospel message. To authenticate the Word of God. Amen? Paul's use of the gifts of healings was never used solely for the purpose of bringing physical health. If he were to have used the gifts of healing for that, we would not have his prayer for the thorn in the flesh. Well, that prayer wouldn't be there. He would have taken care of that. I'm healed. He didn't do that. Well, that'd be a temptation, wouldn't it be? That'd be a temptation. He didn't do it. Paul himself was sick, yet never healed himself, nor asked a fellow gifted. You know, Peter, you know, I know we've had our differences and all this stuff. Could you just throw that healing thing on me? Never does that. I mean, you're the thorn in the flesh. It's really hard. The Lord said it was for His grace to abound in my life. But, you know, I've been carrying this for a while. Could you just take it away, Peter? He never does that. Right? Paul himself was sick, yet never healed himself, nor asked a fellow gifted believer to heal him. Paul's dear friend and fellow worker, Epaphroditus, had been terribly ill and would have died but for God's intervention, Philippians 2, 25 through 27. There's no mention in there that Paul healed him. There's a mention in there that Paul prayed for him, and God healed him. God miraculously healed Epaphroditus, but if the apostle had freely exercised the gift of healing, Paul would not have had to make a special plea to God on Epaphroditus' behalf. When Timothy had stomach trouble and other ailments, Paul, this was his son in the ministry. He loved Timothy. This was the half-breed Timothy, half Greek, half Jew. This was the Timothy that could not be circumcised on the eighth day. Hey, he was thought of as a dog by the Jewish population, but he was the great New Testament Gentile pastor at Ephesus. Timothy, he loved him. Why not heal Timothy? I mean, Timothy's got so much to give. He's so intelligent. He's so smart. Why not heal him? He doesn't heal him. He says, take a little wine. And he's not saying to go get you drunk on. Take a little wine. He tells him in 1 Timothy 5:23, take a little wine. Take some wine for thy ailments. Trophimus, another associate of Paul. Guess what? In 2 Timothy 4:20, he left sick at Miletus. You know, man, we really need Trophimus, man. I mean, we got to get these churches started. We got to get this movement off the ground here at Miletus. Let's just heal him. They don't do it. They don't do it. He left there sick. The point is that Paul did not exercise the gift of healing except as necessary to confirm the power of the gospel, not to make Christians healthy. Not to make Christians healthy. A Christian today has the right, as a blood-bought believer, to cry out to their Creator for healing from any illness. Amen? Boy, we've got the right to do that. God invites us to do that. He wants us to do that. But God may choose to heal or He may not choose to heal. He is a sovereign God. He's got purposes that He wants to accomplish for His glory. Amen? I tell you what, one of the hardest things I ever saw in my life was a 41-year-old contemporary friend of mine by the name of Steve Hunt, when I was pastoring in Belle Plain, Kansas, had three beautiful blonde-headed, stair-stepped girls, one in elementary, one in junior high, and one in high school, had a beautiful blonde-headed wife that was a nurse, and he was dying of colon cancer. It was eating him alive. You know what? He never asked. Never asked for God's healing. You know what he always asked? I want God's will in my life. Well, you would come out of those meetings with him, and we would go over there as deacons and pray over him, and Steve, can we pray that God would heal you? Yeah, you can pray that. Steve, do you want God to heal you? Well, Pastor, I just want whatever God's will is for my life. What? You know, we want to pray. He'd say, you can pray that God would heal me. And we'd ask him again, you know, Steve, do you want God? I just want God's perfect will for my life. Man, oh man. You can't argue with that, can you? Man, oh man. What a dad, what a husband, what a saved Christian. What a man of God. We'll see him again, Steve Hunt. There he was. Broke my heart, but what he wanted more than anything was God's perfect will in his life. Amen? God is under no obligation to heal at all times. He does heal when He chooses. Sometimes He chooses not to. He's made no blanket promise to heal during any age.
What? Really?
Yeah, you can go through the Bible starting in Numbers, through Deuteronomy, through 2 Kings, through the Chronicles, through Psalms, all the way to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. There's never a blanket promise that God is going to heal at all times. In fact, there is kind of the opposite, you know. People are dying all the time. Yeah, yeah, people are dying. He's under no obligation to do this, do it all the time, 100% of the time, during any age. And God no longer is authenticating His Word. Man, His Word is, it's His Word. It's eternal. Now, this is what's amazing. Those that are continuationists, they've always said, I've worshipped the Bible. Those that are continuationists, that believe the sign gifts are going on. And my defense has really not been a defense. It's just the Bible. I don't worship it, but I certainly worship the God it represents. Amen. Yeah. And this book, without this book, I would not know the gospel. I would be able to look at nature and know that there's a God. But how would I know about a Savior except for the Word of God? Amen? And so, those of us that are cessationists, we're like, come on. Come on, look at the Bible with us. And those that are continuationists, they're like, come on, feel this with us. And so, we're over here, let's read this together. And they're over here, let's experience this together, right? And so we just kind of got this tug and this ebb and this flow. And I don't want us to do this as we close this out tonight. I don't want us to be afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit wants to move. And, I mean, He wants to get free, and He's not gotten free here yet. But maybe one day He will get completely free. Amen? He gets freer every time a Christian out there says, you know what? I'm going to get in the game and exercise my gift. That's when the testimony of the church gets stronger. That's when there's more, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, right? So we make the testimony strong. It's just a spiritual magnet for lost people to come in. And when folks get saved, man, that's the miracle. And folks do get healed, and that's a miracle. And people do get set free, and that's a miracle. But God wants to blow our minds with what He wants to do here. The Holy Spirit does, amen? So don't be afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit. Not trying to rein in the Holy Spirit. Not trying to what did our last evangelist say? He talked about how they really had a revival at that church that he pastored, that Brother Malcolm led the revival there. And I remember what he said. He said it over and over again. He said, it never got weird. He goes, it never got weird, right? But you knew it was revival. And the evidence of it were lost people getting saved, people getting free of addiction, people getting free of drugs. It's just incredible stuff, Holy Spirit stuff happening. Amen? God wants that to happen here. Don't you feel it? Now I sound like a continuationist. Don't you feel it? I feel it. Amen? I want some of that, right? Yeah, God wants to bring that here, folks. God wants to bring that here. Let's have a closing word of prayer, and then we'll get into our prayer time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for tonight. We thank You for Your Word, Lord, and as we continue to go through this study on 1 Corinthians, Lord, we pray that we get it right here, Lord, and we understand the diversities of these gifts. We understand, Lord, it's not about all the flash and the show and the sensationalism of some of these gifts that they just inherently have, Lord, but it's about all the gifts being exercised in Your New Testament church. Father God, we're thankful for the giftedness that You have blessed this church, this congregation with. And Lord, we pray that You would continually bring the gifts of the brethren and of the sisters. Bring those gifts online, Lord. I just pray that folks would be under conviction. They would have a heaviness of heart. they would have an unction behind them to serve and minister in the area of their giftedness. Lord, may you birth the ministries through the hearts and through the souls and through the people that you have formed this congregation with, Lord. And we're thankful for the ministries that are going on now. It's not like there's no ministry going on, Lord. There's ministry going on, and we praise you for that. We thank you for the school ministry, Lord, and the Bible study, the Sunday school ministry that's going on, Lord, and the Monday night thing that's going on. We praise you for that and thank you for that. But Lord, in a congregation this size, you want to do even greater things than that. You want to do bigger things than that, Lord. You want to draw lost people to your side in this place because of the testimony that is lifted up here for you. We praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Be with us as we go through this prayer time. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Well, I'm going to need a pen. All right, brother. All right. Hey, is it warm out there? Some of you a little warm. I've broken to a sweat, but that's all right. I'll take a bath tonight. Amen. I think yesterday I actually had three. Have you ever had a three bath day? Yeah. Man, your skin on that third bath is like, would you just quit putting soap on me? I've had enough soap. But you know, if you don't, you're gonna be the life of the party. And you don't want to be the life of the party like that. Hey, who is that? Did they bathe? I don't think they bathe. All right, prayer request.